Welcome back to Cogumentative. Today in studio, we've got Mark Paluta, Mark Solomon, and Nadav, whose surname I forgot.
Don't worry about it.
What is your surname? Ravid. Yes, of course. And it's such an easy flow of the tongue kind of surname. Anyway.
You did it wrong, Paige.
Thanks for the intro, Paige.
Producer Paige, you're supposed to say, welcome to Cogumentative, where three men
do something stupid in studio.
Eat exotic foods, something
guys,
like that.
Guys, I can't be Thomas. We miss Thomas dearly. No, I'm sorry, Thomas, that you're not here. You're too busy having a great time and complaining about it.
That's right.
Can we start
exactly
properly,
what he's doing.
Thank you.
Okay, so in the news.
Are we doing news?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's our intro. It's done.
Oh.
All right, so.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello. How's it? Good
so
to be back.
We'll say welcome back. Thanks for the intro, Paige.
Yep.
By the way.
Rockstar.
Nobody missed me last week. No one said anything. No one said that I wasn't here.
Paige missed a cut that. Did you cut it out?
No one said anything.
All the stuff about Nadav. Last week we weren't here.
It was like, the week before. Whatever. The last show.
You really haven't been here for a while.
We did video call you, though.
You did. That was kind.
Yeah. It was cool.
I'm back. Nobody, hopefully somebody cares.
And your frequent messaging of what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, made it feel like you were actually in the studio.
I needed to know.
Is Barnes actually there?
Out.
Send me a
proof of life with today's newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, boys, so I think there's a lot of news. Well, I think we're going to take a while in the news today.
Okay.
The first thing I think we should talk about is Gordon Murray.
Ooh.
So Gordon Murray
off the bat, cricketing metaphor there.
Oh,
see that?
Look at that.
Appropriate.
Yeah, look what you did.
Famous, very, very famous South African, who used to design Formula One cars.
Some of the most successful Formula One cars of all time.
Okay.
In fact, I think that the two most successful Formula One cars, and I stand to correction, could be the McLaren that he designed, and Rory Byrne, who's also a South African, his Ferrari. I think those are the two most successful cars in a season.
Wow. Brilliant.
And I stand to correction. We must look it up.
So another car he designed was an Alfa Romeo. It was a Formula One Alfa Romeo.
Now you're talking about the Brabham.
The Brabham Alfa Romeo.
With a fan car.
With a fan.
Yeah.
So that comes into context in the discussion about his new project. But he's very, very famous for the McLaren F1.
Yes.
Which is arguably one of the greatest cars ever of our time, or ever.
It could be the greatest car ever built.
So this is the successor to that car. The same designer, small team. He did it with McLaren before, but McLaren really didn't even exist, if we're fair, as a road-going concern. So it was basically Gordon Murray design then, and it's Gordon Murray design now.
So let's just talk a little bit about the F1. The interesting thing was that it was a road car that ended up becoming a race car and won Le Mans.
Amazing.
I mean, it was the last real car to win Le Mans. It's just off the charts.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, what he said about this new car, and I don't know if you've been following the whole thing, where all the manufacturers of the hypercars are building these hybrid turbocharged cars. He's going back to basics. He's having a thing that's got 12 cylinders, manual gearbox.
Amazing.
Oh.
Three-seater, like the McLaren F1, central driving position. But yeah, naturally aspirated, highest revving road car engine ever.
I think so. And what he said is they're going to find speed in lightness. And so everybody else, adds hybrid gubbins and they're so fast. But they end up being a little bit heavier. He wants to go, what did you say, under 1,000 kilos?
Under 1,000 kilos, 650 horsepower.
Unbelievable.
So the thing is, the McLaren F1 was, I think...
650 horsepower.
627, if I'm not wrong.
Well, it came out in 1992.
Oh.
So it arrived at the start of the whole carbon fiber revolution on supercars. It did have a carbon fiber tub.
Yeah, I mean, but look, they were already quite well into it. I mean, remember, early 80s, you already had carbon fiber starting to feature.
Okay. But it didn't have things like carbon ceramic brakes.
No.
It
didn't have traction control either.
Traction control. So it benefits from a lot of tech now, where he's keeping the design ethos the same, but using modern materials. So I think it's going to be incredible. Cosworth are developing the motor, or have already developed the motor. I read the press release.
Can you imagine what this thing's going to sound like?
So it doesn't have a flywheel, I read. It's got a lightweight clutch and no flywheel. So what that means is it's instant revs, naturally aspirated. It's going to be like a Formula One car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to idle at like 5,000 RPM.
It's going to have to, otherwise it's going to shake itself apart. I said this on Instagram this week. This is like a big deal. This T50 that Gordon Murray is releasing is like the biggest deal.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be more excited about something for car people.
They're making 100?
Making 100 of them.
The price is going to be... Apparently, £2 million.
Yeah. £2 million.
These numbers are ridiculous.
X taxes.
But
which is a fifth of what a McLaren F1 would cost you today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now the next most famous Formula One car designer, let's say, is Adrian Newey.
Yeah.
And Adrian Newey has got his own project, which we've spoken about extensively on the show, the Aston Martin Valkyrie, which is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be the biggest showdown of them all ever. It's going to be amazing.
And they're sharing engine developers.
It sounds like they're sharing engine developers, so it's interesting to know if it's going to be the same block. Still a V12, revs to a million. And, wow, Gordon Murray versus Adrian Newey.
That's what you want to see.
It's like
an old-school Formula One race.
This is
outside of Formula One.
You can make a movie out of this.
Well,
it could be amazing.
We can, and produce a page. We now have a challenge for you.
Oh.
You need to get us test cars. We want to be those people.
Yes.
We will be objective. We will promise we will be very objective in this. We will not be starstruck.
Our listenership is catching up to things like Top Gear.
Yep.
And that is not a lie. It is catching up.
It really is.
Incrementally.
Yes. And in terms of percentage gains, we're also doing very, very nicely.
Massive percentage gains every week.
10% every week.
that's the Gordon Murray T50.
All right, so that was the biggest piece of news.
We want to know more about that. And it's got a fan. Did we mention the fan?
Really? Talk about
that. So for the aero for the car... a lot of people are doing active aero and wings that pop up and, you know, suspension that's kind of active. So he's gone a step further and he's taken the Brabham fan car idea, which was almost immediately banned.
It won its first outing and then was banned.
He's applied it. In other words, true ground effect. He's applied to this car. So we're going to have... His biggest idea, his most successful and controversial idea, which was the fan car, sucking this thing to the ground, creating downforce.
Epic.
It's going to be amazing. So epic.
Tell me something. Is the Valkyrie also a three-seater? It is, huh?
I don't think so.
The new McLaren that's a three-seater, the Speedtail.
Yes. Speedtail's a three-seater, that's right.
Well, I got a few other news items.
Yeah. Mike, let's see how we go, Mike.
You can talk a lot about the Ferrari SF90.
They released it. It was quite controversial. So every once in a while they release a hypercar. It was started off with the 288 GTO, which then moved into the F40. The F50, the Enzo, the LaFerrari. So this is the next step.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's that kind of limited type model. I think, like, in terms of performance, you know, it's the standard things, but I think this is going to be a hybrid.
Yeah,
it's been quite controversial. It's got sort of rectangular rear lights.
They look Corvette-ish,
I think. Do look a bit Corvette-ish, and actually round lights at the back is really a Ferrari trademark, which they went off for a while when they had the Testarossa and some of the other cars. But it really is like a big thing, and that's been quite controversial about it. There's no doubt it'll be really good. I like some of the elements of it. There's a little bit of F40. You can see they're trying to. If you look at the side pods, if you look at the wing actually at the back, the way that it goes up slightly, it's sort of like harks to the F40.
I'll give you its headline figures. 986 horsepower. It's got three electric motors, and because it's got, I think, two electric motors on the front wheels, it can do something called torque vectoring.
Yeah.
So where it will obviously slow down the motors on the inside wheels when cornering, which should give it amazing Nürburgring lap times.
Boring.
But the thing is that, you know, we're in a time now where these hypercars are just so fast. And they're accessible. People can drive these things.
Well, the other thing is these manufacturers, Ferrari and McLaren, let's use those two, are launching a new car every other week, seems like, at the moment.
Yeah.
I can't keep up. So Ferrari launched the Portofino, which was the California replacement.
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Then they those, what are those single-seater?
SP1, SP2 ones. Yeah.
Love those.
Saw one of them in London.
Yeah, did you see that?
Oh.
Gorgeous, cool. Getting offloaded. Yeah,
it's
what a car.
But it's,
what a car. Cool. And now this, there's a couple of...
No, there are a couple of one-offs as well. So that's the interesting thing that's happening nowadays. Obviously, platform sharing, I don't know if we're going to be discussing it, but... This the flexibility that they've got with the platforms are allowing the guys to do really bespoke stuff. So, like, whilst it's not great in the VW world where everything is basically an Audi platform that's just become it becomes a Bentley and a Lambo and a whatever.
And the Dove listed the cars that are built on that one platform.
Eight or so.
What is it?
Or so cars.
Audi Q7,
MQB Evo. Yeah.
Audi Q7, Bentayga, Cayenne,
Touareg,
Cayenne Coupe. Urus.
Q8.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of cars. Same platform. Engine sharing.
Yeah.
Chassis sharing. I mean, everything. Suspension, the works.
But I think so. I'm not sure, like, technically what's allowing the guys to do this, like, at a place like Ferrari. But you can see they're using these platforms and they're morphing them into other cars. I mean, they had that one-off that was built for a customer.
Yeah.
They showed it going around Monza.
So it's like 20s and 30s... coach building.
It is almost, I think we're sort of in a coach building world at the moment.
I think people are looking for exclusivity and the manufacturers are learning how to provide it again. You know, it's not enough to have a run of 200. That's not exclusive enough. I want one that's only mine. Nobody has something like this. Something weird about a need for a one-of-one piece. Obviously, that's the top of the collection. I don't understand the SP90.
Mm.
As much as it pains me to go back.
SF90.
Whatever.
SP?
You're right. It's an SF90.
Okay.
Scuderia Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the LaFerrari replacement?
Yeah. A successor.
Are you sure? I suspect, and I also read something, this is why I'm asking, that it fills a new space.
No, it's just the 90th birthday celebration.
I think it's not the replacement.
It just turned 70.
Why 90?
Well, I was trying to work it out because the F40 was 40 years.
F50
was 50. F50 was... F50 just carried on. I mean, because it was 95. So that was when it pretty much came out.
Sounding like Audi naming convention.
Yeah, I think they may have skipped it. I was trying to work out how they got to 90. Yeah, Audi naming conventions.
No, I was behind a 30-cylinder Audi A3 the other day. 30 cylinders.
30. 30 TFSI has to mean that.
Absolutely.
So I think someone read, and I don't know if it's one of the journos that picked up a fact wrong, but it's almost like this is something, a new range for Ferrari, and that we're still waiting in a Ferrari replacement.
I hope so, because I'd like it to be a V12.
Yeah, because this is just
a twin turbo V8.
It's a 488 engine. I mean, it's just like, how is that the absolute?
You can't have the halo car Ferrari being a V8. Enzo would turn in his grave. This cannot happen.
What are you talking about? The greatest Ferrari ever. The F40 is a V8.
Yeah, but they've got such a good V12. Yeah. And everyone else is doing naturally aspirated V12s. Anyway, talking about exclusivity, there's a new Bentley Bentayga called the Bentayga Speed. So just one interesting fact on that car.
Which is also MQB Evo.
Also MQB Evo.
Okay.
It has an extra 18 horsepower.
1.8.
And for that, you get to pay an extra 371,000 Rand, which works out to 20,000 Rand a horsepower.
Seems reasonable.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's a hell of a lot for a Touareg.
It really is.
But horse people will tell you. I think Mike will correct
horse
me
people.
Horse people.
The 20,000 Rand for a horse is not so much.
No. That's a lot for a horse.
Is it?
No, I think you can buy...
You can buy horses for millions. So 20,000 Rand for one horse is not bad.
No, I think you can buy a horse for 20,000 Rand.
Yeah, of course you can.
I mean, it's not going to win any races.
So how much is a...
It's probably food for a lion.
Yeah.
So that's actually cool. Those are quite cheap horses as they come.
BWID.
Yeah.
Set the new
ring lap
electric
time.
Yeah, vehicle saw that. Ring lap time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awful.
If 6 minutes.
Turn off the sound.
No, watch it. It wasn't. I mean, it looks like it's futuristically fast because of the sound.
Buzzing in my head.
So 6 minutes, 5.3 seconds. which, let's give you something to compare it to, GT2 RS Manta did it in 640.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hell of a quick car. The record is 919, 5 minutes 19.
Yeah, 5 minutes 15, I think, even. But but you're comparing it to a road car with wings. This
yeah.
is a full racing chassis
sure.
with full LMP1 plus aero.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, it's not, it gives
electric.
You some context, but it's completely electric. It is only capable of one lap.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is,
it's a 20-mile lap.
It's a 20-mile. It's a long lap.
Oh, sorry, we're talking about electric cars. Sorry, I was sleeping.
Oh, sorry. But it's an impressive achievement, and God only knows where they're going to go from here. I mean, it's, you know. It's,
well, I think, yeah, but it's all fast. About being this testing platform for
yeah.
VW,
yeah.
who are going to release more electric road cars
yeah.
soon, by the looks
well,
of things.
It's going to become the standard, and, you know, in the end, what they're trying to prove is that
it's as
sports
fast.
Cars are just, that can be electric and still sporty, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, last new segment. Controversial.
Okay. All right.
What do we all think about the new BMW 1 Series?
Oh,
my word. Oh. I wasn't sure if it was a BMW or if it was a Merc.
Well,
it's so generic. Honestly, I thought it was an A-Class. And it's front-wheel drive.
So that's the big change. It's a change from rear-wheel drive to front-wheel drive.
Awful thing.
But what is it? Is it a Golf underneath?
No, it's
maybe.
A BMW. Could be. It's
how do you know?
It's a Toyota.
It
is
a Golf. Could be
it's a Toyota.
Toyota. Yeah. Oh, they did a deal with the swapsies on the
Supra.
Yeah.
I'll take some Corolla bits. You can have some Supra bits.
No,
but it's an awful thing.
I made the notes. They showed the hotter one with all these stupid little wings and stuff. It manages to be like completely amorphous and overstyled at the
yes.
same time. It's
yeah.
just absolute junk.
But isn't that everything at the moment? Look at the BMW Z4, how overstyled that is, and the Supra. Everything is overstyled.
Yeah.
It's that era we're in now.
I have hated the 1 Series, always. And one of the things, that, I don't know.
What did it ever do to you?
It's so average. And when you look at it, the first one from the back, because the back was concave, it keeps turning you upside down. Makes me so angry. I don't miss those at all.
Anyway, look, they had to compete with the rest of the hot hatch brigade.
This
they
isn't
were,
rant time, eh?
Sorry.
They were the only guys.
We've got to book a slot for that.
BMW were the only guys that didn't have a front-wheel drive hot hatch in the game. Merc have got it with the, what's it called? A-Class?
Whatever.
You got a Golf, you got a Renault, you got some Fords, you got lots of other things. BMW didn't have anything. They were rear-wheel drive. It was different.
They were, but then the
made
other
them
ones
more
all four-wheel drive. So they're going to, you know, presumably
yeah,
bring
but
out
that
the extra
Haldex four-wheel drive, yeah,
so
bias to
whatever.
Anyway, look, it'll be interesting. I think it'll be popular with young people, which you guys aren't clearly.
No.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break.
Do you think it'll still come with a vape holder?
Absolutely. I mean, it's in the press release.
Front-wheel drive one,
and a CrossFit membership.
Very nice.
For Paige
right.
and Mark.
Enough news.
Okay, enough news. When we come back, we'll be doing a challenge that seemed like it worked well last time.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Young people are making their mark. Get up.
Tune into the Sebenza Live Behind the Hustle podcast every Tuesday to find out more about what fascinating careers are out there. You can find us on the Sowetan Live website.
Or you can follow us on Twitter on Sebenza Live.
Sebenza boy.
Sebenza girl.
Sebenza.
Yavamdana.
Welcome back to Cargumentative, everyone. We're going to play our favorite game, Marry, Kill. Right, but what we call it is push off a cliff, hoon once, and keep forever.
The rest of your life. Yeah.
So we choose three cars, and each of us have to pitch these three cars to the other guys, and then we have to decide. And what makes it difficult is very often they are cars that we love, and it's hard to decide. So who wants to go first? Nadav, you've got so many lined up. You first.
I did. I pre-gamed this, I must be honest. I sat at the supper table, discussed it with the wife, came up with a few combinations. I'm just trying to think which one to throw out of my deck of cards here, because they're all pretty good. So I'm going to start by like scraping the bottom of the barrel. So we're talking about absolute basic transport. Okay?
Okay.
You just It's about getting from A to B. And, you know, like a new car is just, you know, pie in the sky. All right?
Okay.
And maybe you're from the south. Okay?
Maybe.
Joburg, I mean, not the southern suburbs. We may have Capetonian listeners. So,
southern suburbs are fancy.
Yeah, they're very fancy. So we may have Capetonian. So I'm talking about the south of Joburg.
Not Louisiana.
So, so the question is, if I put in front of you a Mazda 323.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
A Fiat Uno.
Ooh.
And it's not a turbo.
Yeah.
Okay. Or a Toyota Taz.
Oh,
what would you do?
No, it's easy.
Is it?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I'll tell you now. Me, I would definitely marry the Uno.
Okay.
I'd keep the Uno forever. Because it's going to be a little bit problematic, but that's fine.
Okay.
And a bit of fun.
Which is just
life.
As well, because it's the one that you wouldn't be able to sell.
Exactly.
No one will buy it, so you will marry that car.
Okay.
I would probably... Yeah, I'd definitely push the Toyota off a cliff.
Really?
Absolutely.
Just because it's a Toyota?
Absolutely, because it's shit.
Okay.
And I would, yeah, I'd hoon around in the Mazda because it's a gangster car.
Yeah, I didn't mention so if it's got mags and tinted windows, though.
Weren't early Mazda 323s maybe rear-wheel drive?
Have you driven one?
Were they?
I have.
I've never driven.
I drove a 323.
I definitely did. I learned to drive in one.
Really?
You used to get like 323...
I've been in one.
Like a very hot fuel-injected 2-liter one? Is
that's right.
Is it that
you're
one?
Right.
Is that
it's
one?
Not that one.
Oh, it's not
that's
that
not what I had in mind, no.
What, the 2-liter
right.
3-liter?
It was a 2-liter fuel injector.
Wasn't,
yeah.
wasn't that the thing, the 2-liter street eater? It was.
What is it called?
Wasn't it? The 2-liter street eater. There was that...
street eater.
No, there was like an advertising campaign maybe. That went well, on.
But apparently it's not that one. Apparently it's a 1300 hatchback.
It's 1300 hatch. I've got another... I've just thought of another one for next week, so I'm going to put it... It's called the Toasters.
Mark needs to tell him.
Okay, well, look, I actually would have... I would live with the Toyota. You have to. I mean, unfortunately... No. The Fiat will kill you. It'll kill you.
Like, you know how much fun you will have in that car?
Yeah, but you know how much money you're going to spend? You may as well flip and own a Ferrari.
But, Mark, it's
it'll
about
break
living.
All the time.
Okay. Take your Toyota. It's very cliched, by the way. Anyway, carry on. Just saying.
What, a middle-aged Jew in a Toyota Taz? Come on.
Not saying,
never
where
happen.
Does that win? It'll never happen. Are you
kidding
me?
But it wouldn't be a Taz. It would be a Camry.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which has now been replaced by a Kia Sedona. But, all right. Okay, so I got one.
No, you're not finished. Toyota, which car are you pushing off the cliff?
No, the Mazda, for sure. Oh. And then I'm going to drive the wheels off that Fiat for the day.
It's going to believe
and
it's a turbo.
And I think I think it could last that day.
Yeah, he has to go as well.
Okay. See, I'm practical.
Okay. No, I don't like that kind of practicality. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's your turn. On your car. Yeah.
Do I have to answer my own car?
Yeah, you do.
Wow, I hadn't thought that far ahead. To be honest, I remember. So I drove a 323 for a while. I learned how to drive in one, and. I don't remember it being so bad. I don't remember it being so good either.
But what did I know?
I mean, I was learning to drive, right? Yeah. So
pretty generic.
I think I'd probably marry that.
The Mazda.
The Mazda. It's just it's neither. You know, I don't know. Then I think I agree. You'd hoon around in the Uno because it's kind of got like a little. It's like a little bit rorty.
It's a Uno Ferrari.
It's Italian.
It's a Uno Ferrari.
It's a Uno Ferrari. It's got a secret hiding place with an ashtray in the dashboard, which you might flip open if you brake hard enough. And I suppose that leaves the Taz to push off the cliff, but it just feels wrong somehow, doesn't it?
Why?
Well, it'll survive.
It'll probably survive, and it'll just come back on the road.
Actually, I want to ask you a quick question, because you've definitely owned an Uno. There's no doubt.
I haven't.
That's impossible.
There's something that I noticed. I've been in an Uno. Am I right in saying that the window winders go the wrong way?
They
wind the wrong way.
I believe they do, yeah.
It's like, honestly.
There's a couple of quirks in it, you know.
That's not a quirk.
That's what makes it amazing.
That's not a quirk.
It's Italian.
That's not a quirk. How do you get...
The man who was...
How do you
winding the cable wind it the wrong way.
It's like, I just can't get it. Okay. All right, cool.
All right, so who's got that?
I got one.
Okay, go.
All right, cool.
It's your turn.
So you've got three Porsche RSs.
Ooh, this is going to be a goodie, I think.
2.7 Carrera RS.
Yeah.
Yep.
964 RS.
Mm-hmm.
GT3 RS.
Which one?
Okay. Easy.
Latest one.
Latest RS.
Latest RS. Easy. You couldn't have made it easier.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then go.
Fine. So, I'll push the 2.7 RS off the cliff because it's the most bloated, over whatever. And it started it all. It's the first RS. I don't care. There were better cars that came before it, and there's better cars that came after. Everyone, it's completely overpriced. It's whatever.
It's free.
Throw it off the cliff.
In this, it's free.
Throw it off the cliff. Okay. I don't need it. Okay? The new GT3 RS, I would love to hoon that around all day long for a full day until the tank ran dry. What an incredible thing. But to keep forever to behold when you open the garage, when you look at that stance every single time, 964 RS.
There's no question.
What a thing.
You know, yeah, it's a tough one though.
No.
Because it's marginal.
This one's
easy. So I'd actually throw the new one off a cliff.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a drive.
It's awesome.
It revs to 9,000.
Yeah, but like the others are 2.7 RS.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd hoon the 2.7 RS?
No, I'd own it forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
He's just thinking about the money.
I'm not.
Okay.
And it would be in Viper Green.
I'm not
going to
let this one go.
And it would be in Viper Green.
If I put a 2.5 ST in front of you, would you take the 2.7 RS?
No, but you can't compare. 2.5 ST is much more.
But why did the 2.7 RS? Why is it what it is? Why is it worth so much money?
Just because
there's better cars.
I mean, I'll tell you. No, give me a chance. Stop.
It makes me angry. That
you're not giving me a chance here. You're being unfair. The reason I say this is that I've got the E with me tonight. To me, a pre-74 is the ultimate for me. It is my favorite car. Now, I'm thinking that I haven't driven a 2.7 RS, but I can just imagine that it's got that amount of power with that amount of feel, and it just looks like it just looks magical. I'm saying a Viper Green 2.7 RS, that's for me.
Okay, right, well, Mark.
It's fine.
Well, for me, I haven't driven any of these cars, so I'm going on what I've read. And I'd definitely hoon the new Porsche, the new GT3 RS, because that's going to get your blood pressure up more than anything else. I think I probably do what you do. I'm going to be boring. Mm. Keep the 964 and I push the RS off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because I want the best of air cooled, and the 964 RS is possibly the best.
What a thing!
The 964 RS.
What a thing!
I mean, it's controversial. Listen,
you've driven one.
I have driven one, and it is absolutely brilliant. It really is brilliant. But I mean, it's not the kind of car you can live with.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard. It's like it's uncompromising.
Yeah, I do that for breakfast.
Whatever. Anyway, good one.
Cool.
My turn.
I like that one.
I did as well. That was interesting. Okay, my three cars. You ready, boys? McLaren F1.
Mm-hmm.
Bugatti Type 57 Atlantique. And a Ferrari 250 GTR. Three holy grail cars. Interesting one, huh?
So, yeah, I mean, for me, the Atlantique would go off a cliff.
Okay.
No, because I'm a driver.
The most valuable car in the world.
This is not a value discussion.
Fine. You said...
This is not a value discussion.
250 GTO.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No, this is not a value discussion. Okay. So, I would say... So it's coming down to, it's tough this.
It is.
Because the two cars you've listed are arguably, in fact, those three are possibly the three greatest cars ever made.
Well, yeah. That was the point. Though,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Which one do you keep?
Well, for me it would come down to driving, at which one drives best. And the one that drives best is the one that I'd want to keep forever.
Which one would you want to drive every day?
Oh, you couldn't drive a GTO every day.
I'll argue you could.
I could. But one normally could. I mean, we're not normal
so
people.
So the McLaren's probably the most practical in the bunch.
I'd probably do the McLaren it's for a day. I'd probably do the McLaren for the day and then the...
You'd marry the 250?
Marry the 250 GTR.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, imagine coming and walking up to a 250 GTR in your garage. And I'm not saying it because of the value. I'm just saying because of what that thing looks like.
Mm. Okay.
And it's a Colombo V12...
No, it's too much.
Carbureted engine, I mean.
So, let's start with what I would throw off the cliff, because that's easy. 250 GTO.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a sacred car, just like a 2.7
RS. You just
it's
killed
nonsense.
Everything.
Everybody, it's completely overpriced. It's not that much better than all the other ones.
Very controversial.
Everybody wants one.
I think you're just being difficult now.
No,
I think you're just being difficult.
Goodbye, 250 GTO.
I think Thomas said so you can be difficult. The dove is being difficult.
There's now only 28 of you left. Whatever. It's fine. So, goodbye. you were at some point going to end in fire anyway, so what's the difference? So then the question is, what do you marry and what do you hoon for the day? So that Bugatti is just exquisite.
It is
an absolute work of art. And whilst the McLaren is functionally pretty, it's not beautiful in the sense of an object of art like the Bugatti is. But then you have to think about what you would want to live with for the rest of your life. And the induction bark on the McLaren, nothing sounds like that. If I could hear that every day for the rest of my life,
go watch YouTube
it's
videos.
Very,
of people.
Very easy.
I'll give you this.
Guys.
It is actually
it's
practical.
So easy.
It's practical.
Because
you can take the kids to school in it.
I would hoon the Bugatti.
You can take your wife and your mistress.
Absolutely. I would hoon the Bugatti, and I would definitely keep the McLaren. I think that's actually nothing sounds like a McLaren F1.
So. Well, I'm just saying this. You're not coming in my 250 GTR. This is it. And you're not coming in my 2.7
RS either.
You have offended me.
But we have a friend who has four 964 RSs, so maybe I'll get one of those drives.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I would keep the McLaren. I would hoon the Ferrari, and I'd push the Bugatti.
Travesty.
I know. But the McLaren, you have to keep the McLaren.
You have to keep the McLaren.
The Ferrari, the memory will always be there. That Colombo V12 with three twin-choke downdraft Weavers.
Yeah.
Not much better than that.
Okay.
But the Bugatti, I just can't relate to, I suppose.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not really a big pre-war person.
Neither am I, but French pre-war.
But it is. It is.
Show me that pic.
Incredible.
Oh, guys, go and Google all three of these cars.
Yeah.
And then send us some comments. And I have to mention this. Subscribe.
Oh.
Subscribe to our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Producer Paige will get paid if you subscribe.
She really will get paid. And what could happen is people will give us cars to drive. It'll make us much more interesting.
Yeah.
And it might even make Thomas happy.
That's not possible.
In the end.
This is not possible.
In the end, that's why we're here, to make Thomas happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, guys, that was very... Do you want to do one more for Tom? You said you've got more.
Oh,
let's do one more.
Okay. How are we doing for time?
Well, that's irrelevant.
Producer Paige, she's showing me... Oh, that's rude. I don't know. okay, look, let's make it a little bit more interesting.
This one's for Paige.
It's tongue in cheek. Oh, this one's for Paige. This then I have to change it.
Yeah, I'll change
okay.
it.
Okay. Let's make it something we can all relate to. Okay.
But this time you have to weigh in, Paige.
Our producer Paige hails from the East Rand, the Far East Rand.
Why is that even relevant?
Well, we want to know
the Far East
from her.
Yeah.
Given, you know, the triple whammy from the Far East, right? Which would you choose?
Yeah.
The Ford Everest. The Toyota Fortuner or the brand new exceptionally desirable Mercedes X-Class Bucky.
Oh, God. Wow.
Producer Paige, which one would get you laid the most in the East Rand?
Okay, for the East Rand, I don't know about that. My dad always used to say, you're fortunate to drive a Fortuner.
See?
Great. I very much disagree, though. Because I don't know if you guys have ever driven behind someone who drives a Fortuner.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, all the time.
Oh, my
You cannot
gosh.
See anything.
They just drive like trash. Their whole lives. What's with that? Why must you drive angle. Like trash?
Thanks, Peter.
Anyway,
surprised.
So that needs to go off a cliff with the driver inside, maybe.
Whoa.
Maybe. I don't know.
Strong words.
Okay, so I married the Everest.
Okay.
Because it's a very practical car. I can get some stuff done. I'm a practical girl.
It's a practical car, but it's not a Fortuner. So.
Exactly. And you can also, you know, climb a rock should you need to climb a rock.
Okay.
We have a lot of potholes there in the East. You need to be able to surmount those.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a proper Bucky, guys. Ooh. You want to play with that thing. You want to play with it. Come on. You want to build a bakuzi in the back.
That's exactly what you
want to
do.
You want, and you want to just mess with it. You know what I mean? You want it to be broken.
You want it for the day.
By the end of it.
Okay.
Look at you, producer Paige, adding car value.
Thanks,
you know, that's what I do my whole life.
So I'd go for the X-Class to live with forever because Fords are junk. But having said that, the Toyota would have to go off a cliff. I mean, like, you've sort of given up on life if you're driving a Fortuna.
Yeah,
You've literally just excluded, like, everyone in South Africa. I think everyone drives a Fortuna.
That's exactly it.
It's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because you really have just given up.
Yeah. At least with a Ford, you know that for that day, you can think that you're a complete and utter badass because there's a chance that thing's going to explode.
So I do exactly what you're doing. Exactly the same.
Mm.
Chuck the Fortuna, hoon the Ford, and keep the X-Class.
Yeah, and you'd be getting love all night long with your bakuzi, eh?
My bakuzi. No, Dave, it's yours.
The bakuzi, this is mine. Well, pushing off the cliff, well, that's easy. Fortuna, guys. I mean, what a horrible travesty. You know, that's really giving up. You know, I don't know why you buy a Fortuna is because you just haven't thought anything further. Everyone else has one.
The irony is that they're actually quite dangerous because they get stolen all the time. Hijacked.
So I think I'd between the other two, I actually don't really have a preference. They're both awful. I don't know why you would buy an X-Class. It's just a Nissan Navara. Why not pay less? But if I had to, choosing the Ford to live with for the rest of your life, well, you won't because it's going to get stolen today. So if you can have the whole day with your Ford.
No, the Ford's not going to get stolen. The Ford will catch fire. You need it.
No, the latest is that they're all getting stolen before catching on
because
fire.
Because their keys are like generic.
Because their keys are generic. So it means that I end up with a CD's Bucky, which is sad. But
all three of us chose the same thing.
Yeah.
Did you choose the same as well?
No.
Producer Paige, come on. Okay. Letting the team down.
I still think that we should get our listeners, if there are any, to weigh in on all of these options.
Absolutely.
We want to know what you guys would choose and why.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have all the answers.
And to anyone listening from Mercedes-Benz, if you want us to test a bakuzi, lend us an X-Class.
We'll take photos.
Okay, guys. We're gonna cut it short there. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the Red Bull Festival. Yeah. And we're going to listen to an interview that Thomas did with a famous Formula One driver.
We got Siako Dola, man. This aircon is racist.
For the latest political news
and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amrao, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a shift.
Can you please come in?
Welcome back to Car Argumentative. In this segment of the show, we've got 5 minutes with the one and only DC, otherwise known as David Coulthard. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Enjoying a nice view from the Red Bull offices over Cape Town.
You're a lucky man. I wish I was there, because we don't have such a nice view up in Joburg.
We can see the harbour, we can see the tabletop mountain, we can see everything from this window.
Just rub it in, hey? Rub it in. Tough life you live. David, first things first, do you think South Africa has the potential of hosting a Formula One Grand Prix in the future? And if we do, do you think it might be a street race or something around a track?
Well, I think it absolutely does. It's proven in the past that it could run very successful Grand Prix, produce world champion drivers, and I know there's a big fan base here. So I don't have any intel as to whether, Cape Town or any other venue would be in the running for it. But I think that the fact that we've been able to come here and Red Bull have been able to get permissions from the local authorities to allow us to run downtown in Cape Town, I think is a fantastic achievement. And I'm really looking forward to being part of bringing Formula One back and putting it right in the heart of the city, even if it's only for one day.
Sure. And have you ever had a chance to visit the new Car Alami circuit up in Joburg?
Yes, I've been there. I actually drove the Red Bull there a few years ago with the Top Gear Live event, and then I was there maybe 3 years ago driving some GTs. So, yeah, great venue, lot of energy and passion for motorsport, and those who are listening who are fans of motorsport will well know there's some great venues. Mm.
David, sticking with Formula One, what do you think of Red Bull Racing's performance so far this season? Do you think they've had a good start to the year, and do you think they'll improve going forward?
Yeah, I think that whenever you start a new partnership, in the case of Red Bull partnering with Honda, it's not just as simple as popping one engine out and another one in. You're redesigning completely a new car, a new concept, trying to understand cooling and heat rejection, all of the various challenges that you have. So I would say they've had a fantastic start to this new relationship. They've had a reliable car, they've been able to put it on the podium, and they've got a real base now to build towards doing what Mercedes are doing right now, which is consistently winning Grand Prix. As a team, they've definitely got that skill set, and it just takes time to bring all the thinkings together and learn together in this new partnership, but they'll continue to evolve.
Great. Just in terms of Grand Prix circuits, street circuits seem to be making something of a comeback. I mean, we've got Singapore, we've got Baku, we've got Vietnam, which is which is apparently coming onto the circuit next year. What do you feel about street circuits in general, and do they require a different driving technique compared to a traditional track?
Well, I think they do require a different approach. And, I, in my career, was always quite good in street circuits. I won Macau on the way up in Formula 3, and I, won Monaco a couple of times and podium there another couple of times. So I would have been happy to have more street circuits, because you absolutely know where you're limited, because it's a metal barrier or a wall, so you don't mess around with it. On the more modern tracks where you've got a football field of runoff, it's a lot more difficult to define where the limit is. And the risk-reward is different. You can take a bigger risk without having the consequence on these modern tracks. So I understand the quest for safety, but equally, I started racing 11 years old in karting and, moved into Formula 1 at 94 in a period when we lost a couple of racing drivers. So at no point did it deter me any more than people get on motorbikes and road race or whatever, they don't wrap them in cotton wool. So I think that somehow we've started to lose a little bit of the challenge with these modern tracks. And I definitely would support having more street tracks, bring it to the heart of the city, give the local community a real boost, and give the drivers a real challenge.
Fantastic comment. David, what's your favorite road car of all time?
I'm a Mercedes guy. My dad always bought Mercedes, so I've got a 1971 280 SL, which is the same age as me, so the old Pagoda. But my actual favorite is the Gullwing, but I couldn't afford that in 95 because I was just starting out in my career, and now I can't afford it because I'm an ex-racing driver. So I missed my window to buy it, but it's still nice to have those dreams. But there's lots of nice cars out there, so it really comes down to your own personal visual choice, because I think that road cars, largely speaking, are just devices to get you from A to B. So race cars, it's all about speed. Road cars, it's how it makes you feel. So whatever turns you on, really.
David, thank you so much for joining us on Car Argumentative. It was a pleasure chatting to you, and good luck for the Red Bull event this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Cool. That is really cool.
What?
Okay, thanks for that, Tom.
The always cool. I mean, to interview a real life Formula One driver in DC, who producer Page has noted has probably the squarest jaw of all time.
Indeed,
it is amazing that he manages to get that thing into a helmet.
Yeah,
but
he's a proper character.
Yeah, he is. He is.
When was his era? He ended in like early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, he raced from 94.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably for about 10 years.
Yeah, he was at Mercedes and McLaren. Yeah, he was at McLaren.
Mm.
He raced also at Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Won a few races.
DC. Huh?
He's just a cool guy. He's actually, I think, one of the tallest Formula One drivers that they've been.
Okay. And he's Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And especially enjoyed the fact that he mentioned a Mercedes Pagoda.
Yep.
We all love that car.
And I remember in the mid-90s that he had that car and... it was before the classic car scene went crazy. So, you know, he was one of the first guys to really like have
embrace
a classic,
but
a really cool classic car. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it was a really cool event in Cape Town. I'm actually upset that I didn't go down to see it because to see a Formula One car in the flesh is just unbelievable. But it's a real indicator of how motorsport starved we are in this country, and we really, really want a Formula One race back. But we also want the V8s or the normally aspirated cars back. Mm. So the interesting thing on that car...
We don't want
car,
too much, then.
No,
we're
just asking it.
We want it in South Africa, and we want specific cars.
So just so you know, I actually did send a message to Formula One on their Instagram page saying, I really think you should consider both of these things.
So tell me, where was it in Cape Town?
So they had it on the Grand Parade, which is right up, in front of the town hall there.
Okay.
They set up and they did a proper job there. They had courtesy tents and the car itself is an interesting one. So it's not one of the current Formula One cars, which is 1.6 litre turbocharged.
V6.
This is one of the 2.4 litre V8s. So very high revving, normally aspirated. That car is specially set up, actually, for these demo runs. The interesting thing, and I need to just go and check up on it, but I think it actually has cooling fans. Formula One cars normally don't have cooling fans.
Okay.
They rely on airflow over the radiators. And the reason that they don't that this thing has cooling fans is that it ends up sitting for quite a long time, like what they were doing with the national anthem, which Paige would have just played for us. But they also do a lot of donuts. And when they're doing those type of things, they're not getting any airflow over the radiator.
Yeah.
So Formula One cars are very, very finicky. They tend to overheat very quickly.
Okay. So for those of us who don't know much about this exhibition, what was it about? Was it just a demo of this Formula One car?
Well, Red Bull, I mean, does this all over the world, and they actually do some really exotic things. So they've driven it on sand and on snow and all over the place. They really put on a great show. But,
it's a great brand.
Apparently, he got up to 250 k's an hour in the street there in a very, very short space of time.
Incredible.
So really amazing thing.
So DC is obviously a Red Bull brand ambassador. That's his thing.
Yep. Okay. So he drove that exact car at the Top Gear Live Festival, which he mentioned.
Oh, I remember.
Do you remember it was here in...
Yeah.
It was actually a great event, but that wasn't actually the star of the show, if you remember that day. Remember there was the McLaren GTR.
Oh, yeah.
F1 GTR.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nick Mason's car.
Yeah.
I remember when the V10 Formula One cars came to visit. And I remember that you could hear them at Kyle Army from basically Rosebank. From
were they racing or just practicing?
They were testing.
I remember
and
that.
And
yeah,
practicing,
I remember
and you could go watch. And
So
to have seen that V8 car, you know, to listen to it in the surroundings of the street, I mean, would have been amazing. But in the end, we want to see them and hear them racing in anger.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This is all kind of special, but in the end, marketing, and also it's an era. It's time gone by. You know, Formula One right now is in, I think, it's in deep doo-doo, frankly.
It's not great at the moment because of the Merc dominance. It really is not pleasant watching when you're not touring.
No, but we said the same thing about the Ferrari dominance.
No, we never said that.
We did say that.
We said that. That was beautiful. Yeah. It was an amazing time.
We had Renault Formula One cars driving through Sandton. That was more of an event, I think.
It was a similar kind of thing. I actually went to that. It was really cool.
It was really good, yeah. But so all this Formula One publicity for the South Africans and no Formula One. I mean, I don't understand the logic, really. I think they want to get us interested in watching it on TV.
Yeah, and it's just part of a greater marketing
machine. Well, it's also Red Bull. Yeah, it's Red Bull.
Red Bull's got a marketing budget for South Africa, and here's something that they can do. You know,
it's just really cool that they brought the car. I mean,
yeah, it's a bit
really
cynical, cool. But to see one in real life, I mean...
Why not bring it up to Kyle Army and let him go around the track a few times as well? Yeah, they brought it all the way here.
Because I think that that car is specifically doing it in these cool locations. So, you know, to have the car, and I saw a photo of it, the Madiba photo, a statue, which is at the town hall there, and there was a photo taken with a car in front. It's just just really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Okay, well, I'm glad they do it still. It's interesting.
Well. So, yeah, but
okay.
Look, we are fortunate. We are getting a little bit of motorsport. We're getting closer and closer to the 9 hour.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Can't wait. When's it? October?
We keep saying November.
We've got Le Mans in 2 weeks, eh? Am I right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It's a week. It's a week and a bit from now, from when we're recording. Le Mans is spectacular, guys. If you've never watched the 24 hours of Le Mans, you have access. You can stream if you don't have DSTV. It is just one of the most spectacular things to watch.
And we're doing something pretty cool this year. We're having a sleepover at the Man Cave.
I don't know how cool that is. I don't know if we should be talking about it.
I think it's cool.
Are we all going to wear pajamas and hit each other with pillows?
We may. Okay. Well, we'll see, because I've proposed the tequila challenge, the 24-hour tequila challenge, one tequila an hour for 24 hours.
Well, I'll tell you, it won't be very different to actually being at the race, based on my experience. So.
It won't be very different from any normal Saturday for me.
And
okay,
on that
guys,
note,
thank you for joining us this week. Please remember to... Hit subscribe. We've done about 25 episodes odd. So give our back catalog a listen.
There's lots to listen to.
And remember to get hold of us. Hit us up on our Instagram feed at Cargumentative. I think we're on Twitter as well, potentially.
Talk to us. We like to hear from you guys.
Hashtag Cargumentative. We've all got handles. What are you?
At MH Salomon.
At NVR_911.
And I'm at Palutsky. Thomas is at Thomas Falcon and I Loves 11, Cats or something.
Or 11, or triple loves
we forgot
cats.
To mention where he is. I think he's at a Britney Spears concert, isn't he?
Yeah.
That or Jonas Brothers?
I can't remember. He must be so miff with that.
He must be.
I only say that because Thomas is miff with everything. But, I think also just on the Instagram side, send us content. We'll post it.
Yeah, cool.
We'll give you guys a little bit of a plug.
We'll catch you next week. Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.